I call this ADF Subcommittee meeting to order. It's now 1:15. We have myself, Member Carter, in attendance. Anticipate that Member Ballantyne may join us before we're through. Pretty clean agenda in the context of presentation, discussion, consideration, recommendations for the ARS 15241 ADF draft legislation to the state board. Now, I'm not sure how you wanted to proceed with this, Mrs. Schmidt. Whether you wanted to start with this, or whether we were going to have AVE start with this, or you wanted me to start with this.
Through it,
yeah.
Oh, or we want Chris.
I'll defer to Mr. Cotterman.
Hey. See, I almost got there.
Yeah. All right. Should I stand here and address this?
Yeah, address the,
okay.
The entire group.
Great.
If I hand you a piece of paper, please ignore it.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Member Miller and Member Carter, everybody else, good to see you. Chris, for the record, Chris Cotterman, contract consultant for the State Board of Education. The A3F advisory group, formerly the AZ Learns advisory group, met over the last few months to try to rework Section 15241, which describes school accountability and school improvement under the direction of the State Board in accordance with the principles that the State Board adopted for A3F. Early this year, late last year, I can't remember which one, but the operating principle here is threefold. One, we endeavored to separate the development of the school accountability formula from school improvement activities. And so anyone, the casual observer, will see a bunch of strike-throughs in 15241 and then a new section, 15241.02. 15241.02 is all new language in the context of the bill, but it actually has very little, if any, change from what is currently in statute. But the committee felt that 15241, as it currently stands, was incredibly complicated in trying to separate out what's an A through F accountability issue and what is a school improvement issue. So for the purposes of our discussion, we tried to focus on what the key components of a quality school grading system are, and then we decided sort of as a group to leave school improvement for a separate discussion sort of after the A3F issue is dealt with. So what happens to a school that is a failing school may eventually look a little bit different than it does today, but those issues, or an underperforming school even, that those issues we've left sort of out of this discussion currently. And with that, the biggest thing that is different is what's now the new subsection D in 15241, which defines what an achievement profile must at a minimum include. And so the operating principle here is that we try to take the very prescriptive nature of the current statute and change it so that the state board has maximum control over what types of things should be included in measuring school quality, and leave some flexibility to for the board, this board and future boards, to include priorities and exercise its function as a policymaking body for education in Arizona to sort of steer the formula in the way that it sees that schools primarily need to focus. So with that, the minimum, everything in this section operates at a minimum, meaning the board is free to add whatever it deems fit as long as these four things are included. And those four things are multiple measures of academic performance or other academically relevant indicators of school quality. And the operative phrase that we settled on was appropriate to assess the educational impact of a school during that academic year. So that could include much more than assessments, and I'm sure Dr. Metcalf we'll get into that a little bit later, but we are endeavoring to open the possibilities much farther than just AZ Merit scores and growth on AZ Merit. And to that point, academic, it must include academic progress on statewide assessments, which currently is AZ Merit. Notice it does say assessments. So if the board were to adopt different assessments in the future, there is flexibility there. But currently that language refers to the AZ Merit examination. Minimum in English language arts and mathematics, but should other subject areas come online in the future and wish to be included, other subject areas are online now, social studies and science. They're not currently
part of them.
Social studies is not. Science was weighted in, but that's removed here. It's left to board discretion. ELL assessments, this is no different than, the intent here is no different than it currently is, although the approach could be different, but English language learner assessments are included, meaning because I think LEAs, charters and districts have a desire to get some credit for being able to move students along in their English language acquisition. And the last one is progress toward college and career readiness for all schools. The current requirement is graduation rate and persistence. But we stayed away from persistence because there is an operational definition of that already. Progress toward college and career readiness opens it to the board to look at issues like it could include persistence from grade to grade. It must include graduation rates for high schools. It could include dropout rates. It could include credit accumulation. It could include a number of different things. All of that, again, left to the board to have a robust policy discussion on what is the most appropriate. The other changes are pretty technical until you get to the third page where we talk about the state board defining what it is that A through F means. It's the bottom of the third page. The current statute reads literally that A is excellent, B is above average, C is average, and D below average. And then F actually is not defined. F is just three D's in a row. We've changed that to mean that A will demonstrate an excellent level of performance and F will demonstrate failing, meaning the criteria for F, the board should designate. We all agree clearly that F is unacceptable. But the middle ground is left to whatever model the board deems to be sufficient. This sort of sidesteps the problem of defining C as average means that once you if you're in the 50th percentile, you're a C, where before you were performing and, people have a problem with the C label, this sort of gets to that point and allows the board to make those adjustments so that the grades can accurately reflect what it thinks the public experience with the school is. Also, with a decoupling from test scores as heavily, you may see that C is still average, but schools may demonstrate their above average capacity in ways other than solely AZ Merit scores. And then the last piece that is significant is in subsection H. Actually, there's two more pieces I think that are significant. Subsection H, currently the board has a mandate to develop alternative achievement profiles parallel achievement profiles for accommodation schools and alternative schools and extremely small schools. So recognizing that there are now other types of schools in statute besides that, we gave them some flexibility saying that the board must still develop achievement profiles for that are appropriate to assess the impact of accommodation schools, alternative schools, and extremely small schools. But they also have the option of developing profiles for schools that are move on when ready schools, that are online schools, and any other exception that it feels warrants an alternative achievement profile. And then the last significant change is the manner in which appeals to letter grade are conducted. And we sort of went back and forth with this in the task force. And the idea here is that the letter grade is awarded by the State Board of Education. So it didn't seem necessarily appropriate for the department to hear appeals on the State Board's decision. So what we've done is rearrange it a little bit and say, the department is responsible for conducting a process that allows schools to correct the data that is used to determine the achievement profile. So they have a full and fair opportunity to get the proper data in before any calculations are made. Then it's up to the board to establish whatever appeals process is necessary to appeal the subjective decision of the application of the letter grade. So whether it's, you know, we had a flu outbreak and, you know, 70% of the school was out sick, or the fire alarm went off during testing, or all the buses broke down at the same time and the kids couldn't get there, whatever it is. But that the board is not obligated to staff this process all by itself, that in after development, you know, in concert with the department, they can delegate that process back to the department for execution if they so desire. And the purpose, the last sort of big thing, not big thing, but thing to notice is we've substituted academic progress throughout for, used to say academic progress and academic gain, academic progress, academic gain. The committee task force agreed that was sort of confusing, so we just decided to define academic progress as proficiency and academic gain together. So anytime you see academic progress throughout the statute, this section, it means both proficiency and gain scores. The rest of the document is essentially just a restatement of, as I said before, the school improvement statutes. That's required for formatting purposes for the legislature. There are a couple of strike-throughs in there. Those are corrections to the original draft that made it in. So, for example, you'll see some things struck out about the failing schools tutoring fund. We are not removing the failing schools tutoring fund from statute. It just needs to be in 241, not 24102 for inside baseball purposes. So that's the only, the strike three there isn't really accurate. But other than that, it's really just a striking and restating in a different section. There are concerns about school improvement. I don't want to minimize those. There are some areas there that need attention, and members brought those up throughout the process. Members of task force, and those are very real and legitimate concerns. They're not included here because we also sort of made a decision collectively that we really wanted to focus on A through F formula before we delved into issues of school improvement. So that's why they're separated, not because those issues are not worthy of consideration. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions or.
Okay, well, before you, just quickly, I have two things actually in this last paragraph that's back in here for the failing schools tutoring fund.
Yes.
Okay, based on your order of system, I think the actual paragraph is now K, not I.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
K.
Yeah.
I think it's K.
Yeah.
And then I would suggest that rather than the word test in the last sentence where it says Arizona Instrument to Measure Standards Test, we replace test with assessment.
Okay.
And the context there is that regardless of what instrument we use to measure the standards, it's an assessment process. Okay?
Yep.
That would be my comments on those. Tim, do you have some comments? Member Carter?
No, Mr. President, not this time.
Okay, thank you. That, other than that, I didn't find anything in this portion to, that was the only comment I had. I'm going to do this a little bit differently than I would normally. All of you that know that as I did this A to F stuff for 3 years now, when we get into this cycle, I'm considerably less formal and would want to engage any and all of you in the discussion of the process as we go through. And I'm going to kind of, in this particular portion of the process, is there anyone that wants to make a comment at this time. He won't give up an opportunity to talk about the next section. But if there's anyone that does, let me know. Yes, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Member Miller. I wanted to talk a little bit about the draft. That's appropriate to do now, correct?
Do which?
Okay, about the draft.
Yes, let's first.
Okay, draft. Just making sure.
But yeah.
All right, thank you. For the record, Becky Hill. As many of you know, I have a number of education clients that I represent before the board, and today I'll be speaking to you on behalf of both the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry and Scottsdale Unified School District, who have some common issues of interest around the draft and the A3F conversation. First of all, thank you to Mr. Cotterman for herding cats. It was a very clean process online. Of course, we've all had many months to think about this, and we feel like the draft is in pretty good shape. But here's what I'd like to share today. We really love the framework approach versus the prescriptive approach that's currently in statute. Very happy to see the bell curve go away. Strongly support multiple academically relevant measures and college and career readiness measures. And we also are happy to be isolating the A3F discussion from the school improvement discussion for now. But there are two items that are currently in the draft and two items not in the draft that I wanted to mention. First of all, subsection F, which I think in the handout, not including the agenda, is on page 3, subsection F. And this talks about what it means to be an A or an F. And that sentence is followed by this language. The A3F letter grade system shall indicate expected standards of performance for all schools and ways in which schools can rise above or fall below those expected standards. We had advocated to take that part of this phrase out because we don't know what it means and how it adds anything to your responsibilities in this draft to be clear about what your expectations are. One of the reasons this gives us a little bit of pause is because we fought pretty hard to get rid of the bell curve. And even though we still hear some folks talk about this idea of C meaning average, that is not a consensus concept. I think a lot of us feel like if Arizona schools are all doing a good job meeting the state's expectations, there is no reason to suppress how many schools are able to reach the A or B levels. And so anything that looks, smells, or sounds like bell curve worries us. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those phrases that makes you wonder, it can only mean one of two things. Either we're keeping the bell curve idea on the table, or there's going to be something higher than an A that schools can achieve. And we don't think either one of those things is viable at this point. And then if you flip to the next page under H, less
Mr.
important.
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Carter.
This is Tim. Can I interrupt Becky? Becky, I'm sorry. I'm trying to locate in the draft the specific language, and I must have missed the portion.
Sure.
That you said it was on page 3?
Yeah, of the draft we have here. So it would be the new subsection F. And underline all the cross underneath the 1 through 5 strike-throughs is new language that starts in which a letter grade of A demonstrates an excellent level of performance. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say in the phrase that I'm speaking of,
the last phrase.
I see it now. So you're suggesting that sentence,
perhaps,
beginning with the A to F letter grade system shall indicate expected standards, that sentence simply be removed.
What I would do instead, Member Carter, is put a period after the word schools.
And take out and ways in which schools can rise or.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's one suggestion. And then if you turn the page to the new subsection F, the draft gives you authority to have a separate system of profiles for your Cambridge schools. One, I'm not sure you need that authority. I guess we'd have to talk about whether or not you do or not. But given what we're doing with college and career readiness and the promise for, I guess, how my clients at least picture how robust and full that part of the A3F formula could be, we envision it including schools that embrace school-wide or partial school initiatives around systems like the board examination system. We're not sure why they would have a separate profile. We feel like schools should be able to earn points within the existing A through F for those types
of systems. To have that kind of programming?
Yes. So we're not sure why it would need to be a separate profile. Yeah. Because we really want schools to get credit for that inside of the existing traditional, I guess I would say, A through F.
And Mr. President.
Yeah, Mr. Carter.
It's me.
Cotterman.
Oh, Cotter. Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
The only reason that's there is because there is currently a specific, because the current system is so rigid, there is a specific call out in statute currently for the Move On Ready Cambridge schools. Mm-hmm. If the members feel like the current framework is sufficient to encompass those, then there's no really need for it to be there, but that's why it's there currently. So.
Okay, just in case kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's okay. Under H?
Right. So if it legally needs to be there, but we would advocate when we get to the actual formula discussion mm-hmm. that you not separate them out. You simply give them full points, if you will, for embracing that system. And then two quick items, not actually in the draft, but things we've been talking about. There's been a lot of conversation with my colleagues around the idea of trying to have a voluntary pilot where schools could opt in to having a letter grade next year or in the pilot year. A lot of schools have worked really hard to improve student achievement, and you have a lot of new schools, particularly in the mm-hmm. charter world, who do not have a letter grade, and they would like to be able to have those bragging rights. And then last but not least, would just hate to put more work on your plate, members Miller and Carter, but we've waited a long time to have the discussion around what should student accountability look like for the new statewide assessment. It's very controversial, but we feel like we need to have it sooner rather than later, because everywhere we go, it comes up. Should what is the new system going to look like? And even though it wouldn't be part of this draft, I know it sounds like I'm mixing apples with oranges. I know some of our schools feel like part of this new system is making sure that their students have skin in the game. And that is part of the A through F discussion when we're doing community events. That question often comes up. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions, although I've already taken some, so I guess that wasn't.
Mm. No, that's good. I would just ask you to provide me some written documentation of your comments.
Okay, sure.
We can do that?
I think I'll probably just forward some of what we had sent during the email.
That's fine.
Sharing.
So I can see
okay.
it.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wants to talk about the rewrite on 241 before we get to 241A? Okay. Interesting.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Okay, Mr. Carter.
And it may bridge into other areas as well. Do we even want to contemplate what the actions of the Congress and the President over the last couple of days will do to this? Is this not a topic that we need to discuss at this point, or is it?
That's a good question. I do believe that in most of the discussions that have occurred prior to that got us to where we are today, draft outlines of what we anticipated the reauthorization would include have been addressed in this process. Probably not all of them, because everybody was holding their breath every other minute about which line was going to get in or which line was not going to get in on the reauthorization. But I do believe that we're in pretty close alignment at this moment in time. That is definitely something that we will ask for one more go through to ensure that that where we are with this is still in alignment with the reauthorization process and legislation. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that. And then I think the follow-up question is, assuming that we are in appropriate alignment, what level of concern is there that the state legislature may want to exert some newfound authority in some of these areas.
Give me an example of your where you're going with this one.
Well, I'm wondering if the legislature may wish to either add or delete any other sections that might either directly or indirectly impact this. And I don't know that I have a great example. I'm just,
yeah.
I guess I'm always a little fearful about those kinds of things.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that the committee review process will have an awful lot of those kinds of opportunities. And, I mean, I've yet to see something go through clean, but we're going to try and stand it. You know, once we have what we as a board feel that it really approaches it, and that we're following in our due diligence of the requirement that was placed on us to do the A to F process, back to it and said, well, for us to really reach the goals that we all are striving for, we need these changes in the statute to allow that to occur. I think that we have some champions that are going to be willing to do that, but I'm sure there's going to be those who are going to have different ideas or improvements or suggestions and or conversations at the committee levels prior to us getting all the way through the system. You and I both know committees on both sides, committee of the whole on both sides, process, leadership, governor's office. Yeah. I agree. I agree with you that there can be that process. I think that what will I know that what we're going to do is once we have what everything that we feel is appropriate in these requests, that we're going to make a pretty hard stand on the fact that it needs to stay together.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. At least this person is going to do that, and I'm going to kind of direct our lobbyists to do that. All right, let's move on to 15-241-02, school improvement plans. Who's going to talk about that?
Mr. President, Member Carter, this is pretty straightforward. Like I said, this is all new language, it appears, except that it really isn't new language. So it is quite literally a excision and restatement of all of the school improvement requirements from 15241, condensed down as much as possible into a sort of school improvement section. There are no substantive changes here to current statute as it stands. As I said, there are several, I can point out for you, several things that were requested to be addressed, and that is that over time, school improvement sort of became a vehicle to, shall we say, strongly encourage school districts to implement certain strategies, and charter schools as well, to correct poor academic performance. So things like on the very last page, subsection S, a school that's assigned a letter grade of D for two consecutive years must implement a STEM intervention strategy. Subsection T, in addition to any other corrective procedures prescribed in this section, a school district assigned a letter grade of D or F for two consecutive years shall implement a parent involvement strategy. Section is sort of sprinkled with things like this that the legislature has put in place over the years. And like I said, those two were mentioned as things that maybe, you know, might come out at some future time. The method by which we calculate an F letter grade is still the same, 3 D's equals an F. If the board chooses a formula construction that results in a true A through F annual system, meaning that every year there is a failing category, and if you meet that criteria for truly poor academic performance that is not serving students well, that you may be assigned an F. If the board chooses to do that, then of course there might be something in here that needs to be amended to sort of comport with that. However, we've left all that alone because we don't yet know what the A through F formula will look like in total. And since we're under a suspension currently, then we didn't address those issues. Those will present some issues, but in terms of making the school improvement system align with whatever the board comes up with, but we didn't want to hazard a guess as to what that might be, so we've left it alone, if that makes sense. So that's all that I have on that.
Okay, well, I have quite a few comments on this section.
Absolutely, go for it.
All right. I'm going to paragraph C, and I'm going to go into the second paragraph under paragraph C. Well, I guess it isn't the second, it's just on the next page. Down here where it says, for every day that a plan has not been received by the superintendent of public instruction within the time specified, that shouldn't be the superintendent of public instruction. That should be the charter sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In my mind.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, it may very well, it maybe should be the charter sponsor. I have no right. sort of opinion on that, but
no, I'm not saying that it is currently. Okay. What I'm saying is that in this proposal, it should say charter sponsor rather than to the state superintendent.
Okay.
And then I go, there's a couple, three of these things that I want to correct and ensure that it goes, that the sponsor is held responsible rather than the department. We go down to paragraph E, and I go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth line. We're talking here about the contract between the Department of Ed and the school for charter schools that needs to be, I mean, we have legal entities in this process. We have the governing boards, we have the charter sponsors, we have the charter boards themselves. I mean, we need a clarification in this particular area as to who are we talking about when we talk about the, because it currently says any other school pursuant to a mutual agreement between the Department of Ed and the school. It really needs to be, I mean, in a district environment, the contract will be with the LEA. I mean, in all of these, the contracts will be between the department, if there is a contract, and the LEA. Should not maybe be the school. Maybe just by changing school to LEA, we solve the problem. But I really believe that we have several legal entities in this process that aren't defined by, quote, school. The governing board represents a district, which is one LEA, regardless of whether they have one school or 40. Okay, in a charter environment, you may have one school that is a standalone LEA. You might have a consortium that may have upwards of 10, 15 or so in one LEA. So what I'm talking about here is that needs to be re-looked at in the context of where the real legal entity would be to go into a contract.
Okay. Yeah, and Mr. President, that you bring up a point which was raised before. We didn't really settle it. The current statutory term there would be school district or charter holder if you're looking at the global entity. LEA is a federal term. It's defined one place in statute specific to a section. And so we did think about just bringing that definition across and saying LEA instead of school district or charter holder, school district or charter holder, school district or charter holder. That may address that issue.
Right. So and the other issue on this part, again, in my mind, is that here, if it's a charter school, then the contract will be with their sponsor. It won't be with ADE. It won't be with the superintendent's office. You see what I'm saying? South of Georgia? No, not really. This portion of that needs to be cleaned up for the real public entities, legal entities that could be involved in a contract basis. And I was, when we got down here to, let's see, we go down, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more lines. And we talk about County Education Service may hire or contract with administrators, principals, teachers who have demonstrated experience with the characteristics and situations in a school assigned a letter grade of D or F may be used in, as these personnel, as contract process. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. If they have experience with a failing and depraved school, I don't want them involved in the process of fixing a school. I want it to read something more experience with highly performing schools and not DNF entities.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Because if we have it in statute, we can only go to someone who's already been in a failing school to come and help another failing school. I don't want that.
Right.
Doesn't mean that someone in that category can't be considered, but I don't want it to be in statute. All right. Now, let's see. Go to paragraph J. Again, here we have this issue of the Department of Ed shall evaluate any a school that has been assigned. Now, this one would be any district school. The sponsor is responsible for the charters. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not clear. I have another one here. And then paragraph N. This one says that ADE tells a charter sponsor to pull the charter of a charter school. That's not their authority. That's the sponsor's authority.
The State Board of Education, you mean?
So it says, if the State Board determines that a charter school failed to properly implement its improvement plan, mm-hmm. the sponsor of the charter school okay. shall revoke the charter school's charter.
Right.
Well, that's telling the sponsor what they need, what they have to do, when in fact, we in law, they're the sponsor. They're
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Again,
yes.
There?
Yep.
Right. If you go to the next paragraph, and I know you said this is mostly the current stuff, right?
Yes.
And the publication, and this one is in the case of 5 or more schools and districts assigned a letter grade, 2 consecutive years, the next election of the governing board members should have. It says a grade of F, and I suggest that maybe we should make that a grade of D.
Okay.
And the reason I suggest that is that let's let people know that they're in trouble when they're in trouble, not when we're at the end of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing that would be again in the within the last 5. Here's what it says that needs to be in the ballot for the governing board instead of F, again a D there.
Yeah.
And pardon?
D and or F, you don't want to exclude F, right?
No. I think that the comment should be done at the grade letter D level rather than at the letter F level. Those were my comments.
Very well.
Member Carter.
Thank you. My questions center around several items that are very specific to the county school superintendent's office and the education service agencies. There are several different areas in here, but item E is probably the best example. In item E, is it everybody's understanding that that collaboration between ADE and the ESAs will determine whether the State Department or the ESA is going to take the lead in providing service to the LEA. Is that clear that the intent of that language?
Mr. President, Member Carter, you're asking whether this language indicates that the superintendent or department will be the lead and collaborate with the ESA?
Well, if we can. again, does the superintendent of public instruction in collaboration with any educational service agency based on need shall assign a solutions team. Okay, so is that saying that the superintendent, once they've collaborated with the ESA, will assign the team, or that either the State Department or the ESA could assign the team?
Mr. President, Mr. Carter, I believe it's a mechanism to say that historically the funding for solutions teams came from the department. That hasn't been the case now for several years. So, but I believe in the past, the funding flowed from the department to the ESA. Is that correct or no? Okay, so the department has been administering its own solutions teams. We did, but we don't have any right now because we don't have funding for it. So this is sort of open to, I guess, reconstruction, although we're not currently conducting this activity because there's no funding for it. But we could sort of reword that to make it clear that either the department or the ESA could provide a solutions team if the resources were available. But currently it's worded to sort of be a state program. That's why it flows from the top the way that it does, if that makes sense.
So that everybody is aware of the concern. And I don't know that county superintendents have a strong view one way or the other, but there are two issues that are of concern. One is that language needs to be a little bit more clear. We see value in it being a collaborative effort, and looking at the LEA and making a joint decision as to who is best situated and has the capacity to provide the services that we need. And we understand that there isn't any current funding, but if there were current funding, is that truly a collaborative effort where one or the other would take the lead? That really needs to be more clear, we think, than it is now. Then the second question is that if the education service agencies are going to potentially be in the lead, does it have to be the agency within the county where the LEA is located? Because as some of you are aware, we have different ESAs that have very different capacity, and many of our agencies are already providing services across county lines. The value of an ESA being able to provide assistance can either be greatly enhanced or diminished based on which ESA is actually providing that service. We have some counties that would be uncomfortable providing that service. We have other counties that would be very comfortable doing it. So that just there needs to be some thought and decision making around those two points.
Yeah. Okay. And as I read back on my comment where I say the appropriate legal entity, we could just say that, make that pretty easy on my sentence under between the Department of Ed and the appropriate legal entity instead of school would make, I mean, that's a quick and easy fix. And I, Tim, I was concerned about the three words based on need. Are we talking about, quote, financial need, financial resources, people resources, or are we talking about the needs that are required inside the LEA or the school or the district for the improvement? Are we talking about what needs to be, are we defining it based on need, based on, okay, they do fine in math, but their language program is, you know, back in the 18th century. For me, that just says based on need, that could be interpreted in the context of the department, the ESAs, and the school and or LEA that requires the resource team, the solutions team. So, I mean, Ed, I agree. I think he needs to. We should maybe make some suggestions on how to clean up some of those concerns there. And I agree. You know, we tend to think it sometimes in limiting our scope based on authority, but if we have ESAs and they have a kind of the old ADE regional support office concept that we had way back when before we didn't have any money, that there were centers that did specific things based on the talent that resided in the center, and the centers had weren't tied by geographic boundaries. So that's why I think that's a really good point, Tim.
I think that does need expressed. The county school superintendents, I think, might interpret some of this language differently than the superintendent of public instruction might interpret it.
I agree.
And I think we simply want the language to be clear. We don't have any problem working in collaboration with ADE.
Mm-hmm.
If ADE is the ultimate decision maker, then the collaboration is only to provide assistance and the factual background and to say, here are entities that provide assistance.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than if ADE and the county superintendents are agreeing, here's who should take the lead in this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue of based on need, we live in a world, at least within our education service agencies, where we pay for services either through grants or fee-based. And some of us have extended fee-based programs. There are some districts out there that by simply reprioritizing funding, there might not be additional financial. For most of them, there would be. And that's where ESAs can, I think, provide a significant advantage over ADE and the fact that we can leverage some of those funds because of services that we might already be providing to those districts or charters. So it's just an area of concern. I don't know that we have strong views to be this way or this way. It just needs to be more clear than it is now.
Yeah. Okay, good. Work on clarity. Got it.
A clear statute, Mr. President. That would be a thing.
That would be something amazing. Anything else, Tim?
Sure, thank you.
Okay. Comments on this section? My goodness. Okay. Well, based on the fact that no one wanted to jump up and have a comment, I'm going to take a five-minute break because this person, and there's only two of us, has to take a five-minute break, and I'll be back in just a few minutes. We're back on the clock. Everybody. All right, and our next item B is a presentation, discussion, and review with a white paper, Rebuilding Arizona School and District Accountability System from the Department of Ed. And the Department of Ed. Yvonne. I'm sorry, Dr. Metcalf.
Thank you, President Miller. For the record, this is Yvonne Metcalf. Department of Ed. President Miller, you requested a white paper detailing some of the drawbacks of our former system and some of the ways to improve or what a new accountability system might look like for Arizona. So I drew upon the feedback of much stakeholder advice and what other states have been doing and how our current system has caused some unintended consequences related to assigning letter grades and or driving improvement. If Member Carter or anyone else has questions, I'm happy to address them, but in light of ESSA reauthorization, as well as the impact of the final legislation that passes, that replaces 15-241. We tried to be as innovative and general as possible in terms of what could be instead of what is. I will say that much of the feedback has been in regards to our letter grade distribution and how the current statute does not describes a C school as average and creates a norm distribution of performance. That is obviously something that we can address in the using the current language proposed for 15-241 by saying A is excellent and F is failing. The following sentence, A through F letter grade system shall indicate expected standards of performance for all schools and ways in which schools can rise above or fall below those expected standards of performance, actually helps us to ensure that no system adopted or presented can be a bell curve, since those since a standard would be the ability to increase your letter grade based on your own school's performance versus the performance of others, which would be relative from year to year. And so if you were to omit that sentence, we could do something like equipercentile rank schools so that, let's say, the top 20% of schools could only be A's and the bottom 20% could be F's, which would go back to a norm referenced or a bell curve instead of promoting a criterion performance or standards-based system. And it is not the department's intent to implement a system where schools can be labeled punitively based on the performance of other schools. I believe that the department, as well as the state board subcommittee, have similar goals in mind in terms of being able to implement a system that is transparent and useful to the public. And we are encouraged by the language in the bill if that is what passes.
Anything else?
President Miller, Member Carter, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay. I may have some after we get comments, but I'm going to defer to that for right this second. Unless you have one right off the bat, Member Carter.
No, sir.
Let's hear some comments, because I think I have a few out there. Well, currently I only have two. Becky, have you made all of the comments that you wanted, or do you want to comment on this proposal that the department's put together yet?
I'm good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Ms. Jones.
Thank you. Thank you, President Miller. On behalf of my name is Binky Michelle Jones. I am the president-elect of the Alternative Education Consortium. And I'm here on behalf of our Alternative Education Consortium members, which is more than 100 schools, organizations, accommodation districts, alternative ed programs, dropout recovery programs, and charter schools. We are growing as we speak and have a variety of members that are taking an interest in what we're doing. First of all, we're very encouraged by the work that has been done and that will continue to be done. We also have a vested interest in this process, and we have all along expressed that vested interest and made sure that we are a part of that process and that we would like to continue to be a part of that process. We've had robust conversations already with Giovanni, Dr. Metcalf, and others at ADE that we will continue to follow up and be an active participant. And I know many of the members in the crowd right now are part of that Alternative Education Consortium or do have a vested interest in some type of school or organization that does need to look at the accountability of those groupings and those special populations a little differently. And like I said, those conversations we have had, the ability to really build upon those are really important and uniquely important for those populations. As with many others that have stated today and that I have talked to, and we've received many emails about the comment to make for this meeting today is many things that we're encouraged by. Multiple measures of performance and academically relevant indicators. College and career readiness, graduation, and specifically how we've been able to, within that formula, have the 4-7 year grad rate, which has been very, very helpful for members and schools within that that can take a 20 or 21 year old that still made it through and give them credit for that. It also, they're very encouraged by the fact that credit completion and the opportunity to look at that and that component or measure is something that many of our members have brought forth. And then the other thing that we need to find out if we need additional opportunity to talk about or discuss is at one point there was discussion back in July and a position statement was provided that really talked about the unique profiles for alternative schools in that is there confusion with using an A alt versus an A for those types of schools and programs. So, you know, we really look forward to having that continued discussion. We can circulate the position statement again on that in particular to members so that we can continue to look forward to seeing if we can get rid of the confusion that some of the public and students do have for those labels. Other than that, I thank you again for being a part of the discussion, and I have I'm open for any questions if anybody has them. I think I covered everything everybody sent me, so.
Okay. Make sure we get a copy of the, again.
The position statement? Yeah, absolutely.
I know I have one, but.
Okay. Yeah, we can circulate that again. Okay. We will do. Thank you.
Anyone else want to come up and talk and fill out your name on it and have a comment? Oh, come on. I've talked to all of you at one time or another, expressing concern, opportunity to get on the record. I hate saying this, Dr. Metcalf, but I like the last paragraph of the position paper or white paper more than any other paragraph. Paragraph's wonderful. I really like it a lot. Mr. Pike, you can fill a pink paper out after you're done.
My name is Doug Pike with EdKey, Inc. I think we should go on the record that a number of us individuals that have attended today have been given the proposed legislative changes for the first time and would beg your indulgence for the receipt of comments as we avail ourselves of reading through them. Mm-hmm. Being able to give more feedback. I think that though I've not read the white paper that was presented. I have been in several meetings where some of these things were discussed, as well as some of the changes to the legislation. And what I would like to specifically comment on and put the record, put on the record, is that EdKey is the operator of the Sequoia School for Deaf and Hard of Hearing, a school which was given, suggested a letter grade of F by ADE at the end of the last year in which letter grades were given. And the school went through the appeals process with ADE, in which the decision was made not to award a letter F, but to allow it to remain as a D. My cursory review of the change in the appeals process and my listening to the presentation on the appeals process does give me some pause for concern and thought. And I would like to review that further and get into depth on that. I believe that there is a need for a process and have always represented to the State Charter Board our desire for accountability. However, our review of the statute proposed changes and our review of the regulatory changes takes into account the desire for educational groups to serve special populations and for those special populations to have paths of accountability within the legislation that allows for their particular needs. At this point, I am not seeing that accommodation in the suggestions that are being made. Through my association with the Alternative Education Coalition and other interested parties in the state that are providing educational services to specifically defined populations, I believe there are some statutory opportunities to address these issues, and I do not believe that that is what it, what is being proposed at this time has taken that into account specifically. And so I suspect some of my comments will look towards those opportunities at a future date. But I appreciate the opportunity to put that on the record for your information. And I'm available for questions.
Okay, well, your comment would go right back to paragraph H under 241 draft here currently, where we were talking about accommodation schools, alternative schools, extremely small schools,
right,
and may develop profiles for schools that participate in the board examination system prescribed in chapter 7, Article 6, the titles of this titled schools that participate in the Arizona Online Instruction and other exceptions as defined.
I saw that, and in reading that, the primary issue that I have in that that several sections there is that I'm not a fan of the concept of the profiles.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
I think that that's a fair area of discussion and, and debate, and I don't believe either that I'm an expert on the concept of the profiles and could take some education as to its intent and its statement. Right. But where I struggle is that there is no grade level nor group, whether it's in a small school in a rural setting or an urban setting, where a population can be characterized that fits every opportunity. So I don't care if you have a traditional profile, you have three profiles, you have seven profiles, I suspect I'll come up with a group doesn't fit in those profiles, and I believe is ill-served by the proposed function of a profile.
by trying to put a non-aligned group into an existing profile.
There you go.
Okay, I got you.
And so I think you see that. What I have proposed on a number of occasions at the charter board level is that the opportunity for an entity, LEA, whatever, mm-hmm. To present their case and or their story in the manner that best portrays their success and their mission. And I believe that statutorily you have some opportunities to cover that with some generalist type of language. But those are the areas where I think that concern is worthy of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Doug, you didn't take a pink piece of paper.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have to, my comment currently on the white paper is that I need more time to digest it as well. I'm really pleased that you followed through and got it done and got it here. I've read it once. I want to read it probably three more times before I stick my neck out and say, But like I said, I really like the summation. The intent of it is defined in the last paragraph. And everyone needs to understand that most of us believe, those of us that believe in accountability, and there's virtually no one in this room who doesn't, also believe in the appropriate accountability. And sometimes we get stuck in, I mean, for instance, Mr. Pike's comment about the learning group that doesn't align with any of the seven profiles that are existing, and the department and the board's position of we are living with the statute that says every school has to have a profile. And so that's those two things are, you know. And you're right, there are always going to be an exception. I can almost guarantee it. One of the things, and that's one of the better things about what we have in this state and the opportunity for choice, is that there are ways of putting different choices together in front of people who have different needs and different requirements. The issue is still how do we make sure that they're in some kind of alignment with an overall accountability process that holds them accountable for student performance and academic progress, and have it still work. Okay, so I know those things are always a little bit tension system. But I agree, there has to be some common sense that gets applied to it. I mean, I think I heard you once or twice say about the fact that, you know, that sometimes it's hard to take a test if you can't read it, especially if you're blind. So some of those kind of things need to be addressed in that process. All right. Dr. Metcalf.
Just to one of the comments and your own comment regarding the assignment of profiles. I believe that the new legislation allows for the flexibility for the profile of a school to not be necessarily A through F letter based, as you pointed out.
Right.
And within the white paper, we acknowledge that, especially for those schools with non-traditional academic programs, such as Mr. Pike's, the mm-hmm. letter grade label, and this is feedback we've gotten straight from the Alternative Education Consortium as well, holds less value than a more direct or comprehensive assessment of ways the school can improve or the school's performance overall. A comprehensive system will consist of more than just A through F letter grades, and a profile does not have to be limited to a single letter grade or any letter grade whatsoever, since an A through F letter grade, there's some level of comparability, and we speak to this in the white paper, amongst an A school, whether or not there's an ALT designation or a distance learning designation. There's some level of comparability that we want to avoid with different types of academic programs.
Okay. Both Member Carter and I also happen to be participants with the Governor's Classroom First funding council, and several of the issues that you're talking about in that process are ones that are currently under discussion in that environment as well, trying to move to a again, it's very difficult to even have the idea of moving to a single, easy to understand, very transparent, unified funding system. But what we can do in that process, and I think this can be done, and Member Carter can correct me and express his opinion on this, but I think that if we have a menu underneath a given category in that process, and say, and then the menus, I'm talking about funding now, that the menu pieces have a direct correlation to dollar amounts and or percentages and or weights or however that ultimately gets worked out, that then any given entity, funding entity, can say, okay, well, I have, of the 26 areas, I have 10, and of these 10, that's what they come out to be. It's similar to how we do B-weights currently, but those kinds of things can be accommodated and become very clear to someone when they post it for their population to read in that process. And so some of that very kind of concept thinking will relate back to this. One of the major elements in the funding discussions is this A to F accountability program and how that accountability is going to be implemented among all of the LE funding systems that we have out there. So hopefully the two, the flexibility that we can provide in here will be reflected in still in a very transparent manner as we move it from the, quote, labeling system to a funding system as well. Member Carter?
Mr. President, your point is, I think it's well taken. I think the marriage of those two will be the critical factor in how successful that is. If I may ask Dr. Metcalf a question,
absolutely.
Train of thinking. I agree with you that the last paragraph is extremely important, but I'd like to focus some attention just for a moment on the paragraph right above that. It says, regardless of the stakeholder collaboration, technical assistance, or measurement innovation, Arizona's next accountability model first observed the parameters outlined by ARS 15241. The actual legislation, which only references statewide standardized assessments, may discourage inclusion of non-statewide standards, such as industry credentials, assessments for college credits, etc. Dr. Metcalf, do you want to offer a suggestion as to what kind of language you might like to see included in that rewrite of 15241 that would allow for the inclusion of those types of alternatives?
Yes, Member Carter, thank you. I've actually had the pleasure of working closely with SB staff and Mr. Cotterman on the draft language, and I'm comfortable with the language as it exists currently.
Under the draft.
Mm-hmm. That is more of a, thank you for picking up on the cautionary tale of how other insertions, how new amendments or revisions might prohibit us from being able to have a truly multiple measure system, which can account for things like affect, credit remediation, credit recovery, et cetera, although we have the capacity to evaluate schools on those data points, new language that is not currently in the draft might prohibit us from doing so. Yeah. But we're aware that those types of measures bring down the relationship between a school's demographic data and their outcomes on any system of measurement.
One of the things that has been talked about quite a bit at the Classroom First table is the roughly currently we have 50% of our high school graduates who move on to higher ed, but we still only have 20%, 25%, quote, graduating from a four-year institution, whether it's a state college or university system. That number is not too inconsistent with 1930, if everybody wants to know. But the high number differentiation is the multiple 1 to 3 years, with the 2.5 years beyond high school now. We want to make sure that that I'm a huge proponent of the CTE programming. I railed against the wall for a long time when we took it out of our systems and we degraded it down, that it's so important to a significant number of our students. I mean, there is national data that shows that if you're a kid who's going to in a high school environment that has a specialized CTE type programming, whether it's special for the whole school or not, those schools graduate about 96% to 98% of their students. And you look at the general population of a general high school, we're looking at currently 70% nationwide. So there's a real correlation between real world and the application of that process and the skills that we develop in that. The board is going to have a major presentation by the CTE world at our February meeting, which will probably take place at West Tech. But that's an area that, for instance, let's for accountability purposes, if a student or a school gets, we should be looking at points or processing that accommodate not only AP tests, but also certifications for auto mechanics, welding. I mean, those kinds of things need to be incorporated into that overall profile. So anyway, I'll get off my box for a minute and go forward. But yes, thank you very much for this. And like I said, I want to live with it for a little longer myself before I make any major comments. Anybody else out here? Well, come on, the game doesn't start for 4 more hours. We've got plenty of time. It's not that I'm not watching it either, because I am. Anybody? All right, well, thank you very much for coming today, and we appreciate your willingness to participate in this process. We will look at, over the next week or two, we will look at a follow-on meeting based on some input from the board itself overall, and both Mr. Carter and I's comments and suggestions, and then we'll go from there, and hopefully prior to too far into the session, we'll have this thing, at least on the legal side, statute side, worked out. Yeah, Ms. Go ahead.
Just one final comment in regards to the very last sentence in the white paper,
mm-hmm.
Regarding the new accountability system that could be adopted in summer of 2016. That is pending the we can't develop model.
Correct.
Implement until.
Yeah. You and I both know all about that, don't we? All right. Thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Member Carter. That's it. That's it.